All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/sports ad free. That's Amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Canucks fans. Welcome back to another episode of Canucks Conversation, brought to you, as always, by the 2023 Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X is packed with Toyota's coolest tech, and it still has that trusty SUV feel you know and love. And even though it's electric, it's capable of effortlessly conquering any terrain, whether it's rain, snow, mud, or your friend's questionable post-game recaps. The BZ4X will get you through it all. And of course, that is Toyota's brand new all-electric SUV designed to go the distance for you and your family. David Quadrelli, alongside Harmon Dial, our man at the controls, our producer, is Grady Sats. Harm's got the sauna behind him. I said it yesterday, it's going to be a show from the sauna, and here we are. We're not from the sauna. For those on podcast, they'd feel really left out if they were listening to this and thought we were doing it from the sauna. Not today. Not today. Maybe one day. Harm, if the Canucks win the cup, you do a show from inside the sauna. Doesn't have to be on, but you do it from inside.
Sure, 100%. If they do the cup, I'll do a lot more than that.
Turn on the sauna?
Sure, yeah. I can't guarantee how long I'll be able to keep it on. And it might fry my microphone, my laptop in the process, but we'll give it a go at least for the start of the show.
Put on a sweatsuit, you know, ride the treadmill, get a workout bike, get it all.
You know those portable saunas? Like the ones that you... I don't know. I've seen them on like the weird
fighters?
Instagram ads you'd get. No. Like the ones I see are like mom sitting at a soccer game. Like those are the ones I've seen. And they're sitting in this weird, like, portable sauna thing. Anyways, maybe I'm alone
weird
on this.
Targeted there, ads.
Yeah, someone out there seen these, I'm sure. But anyways, Harm, we've got a lot of business to get to, so let's get to it. Quickly, going to preview the show for everybody. So first, we're going to talk about the Canucks taking on the fraudulent Sabres, and then we're going to talk to Jeff Patterson to kind of preview the game a little bit more. And then after that, in anyone else, we're going to talk about our best lineups with and without Dakota Joshua. So, folks, it's a busy show. Thanks for joining us today. It's going to be a real good show. And we had someone in the chat immediately. Breakaway Books in the chat said, I really like Quad's suggestion about the season's last 20 games being a tournament for those who missed the playoffs, determining the draft order. Fantastic idea. Who did he borrow it from? And again, I'll remind everybody, that was the PWHL. That's the PWHL doing that. And I'm once again banging the drum that this needs to be something we see across all sports leagues. But let's talk about the Canucks. Let's talk about the Canucks, Harm. The Vancouver Canucks take on the Buffalo Sabres tonight. The surging Buffalo Sabres, if you look at Twitter. 6-3-1 in their last 10. I'm not buying anything that Sabres are selling personally. And I said that yesterday.
Yeah, and from a Canucks perspective, it's Buffalo's second leg of a back-to-back. They just played in Seattle, beat them last night. They're probably not going to start Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who's been terrific, quietly having one of the most under-the-radar breakout seasons in the NHL. And I actually did a national piece today looking at some of those under the radar most improved players. Nils Höglander was on that list, for example. And Lukanen was on that list because he's rocking a 930 save percentage since January 1st. And even for the season as a whole, he's top five among all NHL goalies, according to Evolving Hockey's goal saved above expected model. So looking at the quality of the shots and chances he's facing, he saved like 22 goals above expected. He's right behind Demko. I think the order goes Hellebuck number one. It's Binnington and Markstrom in some order, two and three. I can't remember who's number two and who's number three, but Binnington and Markstrom are top three behind Hellebuck. Then it's Demko, and then it's UPL, which is his nickname. So he was terrific last night. I imagine he won't get the start tonight. And even if he does, for some reason, goalies on the second leg of a back-to-back, it's statistically proven that their performance drops off sharply. He's been one of the main reasons they've been surging, because you think back to the start of the season, it was supposed to be Devon Levi, who was the number one goaltender, star NCAA prospect, was acquired in the Sam Reinhart trade, was pretty effective in seven games down the stretch last season, whereas Lukanen, he had like an 892 save percentage last season. So the thought process was, okay, Levi is going to be our number one. Struggled through the first 20 games. Now the Sabres don't defend well, so that's part of the story, but he was sent down to the AHL for a chunk there. And their second half surge has been driven in large part by goaltending. That's an advantage that's kind of taken away against the Canucks tonight.
UPL is a really interesting case study, and I don't want to move too far away from the Buffalo Sabres, but if you go look at UPL's numbers and kind of his road to the NHL, he's 25 years old now. There was a time when he was the best goalie in the OHL, and you know, he was actually wrestling for that title a bit with Mikey DiPietro in that season, the 2018-19 season. They were the two best goalies in the league. That hands down, they were the two best goalies in the league. But, you know, you could debate who was the best during that season. UPL put up a 920 save percentage in that season. But the point that I'm trying to make, Harm, is that, like, he bounced around the AHL. He had to play in the ECHL. He got blown back to Finland because he wasn't having much success in North America in the AHL. And the ECHL, his numbers were better. But again, he got loaned back to Finland, and he was kind of up and down. He was all over the place, and you weren't really sure if this guy was going to hit. 25 years old, he's having his breakout season. It just reminds me a little bit about Archer Seelovs, and that even though he's having a bit of a down year this year, there's still hope for Seelovs, right? Like, there, again, we might see him in an NHL game at some point here, but, you know, a lot of people ready to give up on Seelovs after, you know, Tolopilo's kind of emerged and burst onto the scene. The goalies take time. Goalies take time. And I know you heard that for years with all your levies take time. Power forwards take time. All this, you've heard all that all these years as Canucks fans, but goalies sometimes do take the scenic route, and they do take a little bit longer to develop. So I'm glad you brought up UPL. The other funny thing about Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is that he is our friend Brennan Batchelor. He's Brennan Batchelor's warm-up guy. I don't know if you knew this. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So those that don't know, I can't remember the sentence he says, but Batch, for years, before UPL's even been in the league, he says to himself like 10 times fast, he goes, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen picked up a bottle of pickled peppers, or whatever it is he says, right? And he has this whole line, and I love it. I loved it, and I told Batch if he could slip it into a broadcast, I would be very, very impressed. But anyways, yes, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen not going to start in goal for the Buffalo Sabres tonight. So, of course, we had to talk about him for 5-10 minutes there. But the guys who are starting for the Buffalo Sabres, Harm, what are you looking for from the Buffalo Sabres forward and defense group tonight?
Yeah, it feels like Tage Thompson is finally heating up. He's had a disappointing year, plagued by injuries. He, at one point, blocked a shot, I believe, around November or December, and had a hand or wrist injury, which, for an elite sniper like that, it's even when he returns healthy, it's going to impact his shooting ability. And you could tell he came back just 3 weeks after the injury, probably rushing to help the Sabres get back into this playoff push. He was initially playing with a brace, and for a long time, this is a guy that after a 47 goal 94 point season last year just didn't look like himself at all. The last handful of games, I think he's got 6 points in his last five games, had a goal and assist the other night in Seattle. It feels like he's starting to heat up. And what's interesting when you look at why Thompson, outside of the injury factors, has taken a step back this season, and a large part of why the Sabres as a team have taken a step back this season, is because on the power play, keep in mind that the Sabres were the third highest scoring team in the NHL last year, And a lot of it was driven by their power play. A lot of it was driven by Tage Thompson, especially his one-timer. And I think teams have started scouting that, because I looked at the numbers last week for a different national piece, and Thompson's shot and goal rate off one-timers has fallen off a cliff compared to last season. Now, I don't know in the last few games if that's picked back up again, but that's going to be something to keep an eye on, especially if the Sabres start drawing some penalties. Is you've got to be mindful of that one-timer, and if you can take that away from him, that's a massive part of being able to slow him down. And then on the back end, I'm really intrigued to see Bowen Byram. It feels like he's had a new lease on life in Buffalo. We know how talented he is, the tremendous promise and ceiling he has, but he was struggling in Colorado, sort of playing further down the lineup. Now he's in a top pair role next to Rasmus Dahlin. And when you think about how Quinn Hughes, the best partner for him, was another offensive defenseman in Filip Ronek, that seems to now be the playbook that the Sabres are also leaning on in pairing Byram and Dahlin together. That's going to be one heck of an offensive pair. They might have some defensive struggles, of course, but dynamic skating, puck moving ability, offensive instincts, they're going to be really fun to watch.
Canucks going with some new lines tonight. And Grady, can we pull these up here? These are the new lines that the Canucks are going to go with. And this matters, folks, because in anyone else, we're going to bring it up. And of course, in a matter of moments, we will ask Jeff Patterson for his thoughts on these lines. But these are the new lines that we saw rolled out at Canucks practice yesterday. It's expected that they will go with this forward group tonight. Again, we saw a bit of a shakeup to the defense pairs as well.
1 second here.
Okay. Grady's going to pull up the lines, but for those on the podcast, I'll read you the lines. And those on the YouTube live show, you're going to have to listen to me talk about the lines. But we briefly touched on it yesterday, Harm. Elias Pettersson playing with Connor Garland and Nils Höglander. I talked about yesterday how I really like that. I really like that Elias Pettersson's getting the chance to play with legitimately two of the Canucks' best 5-on-5 producers this season, right? Like, there's no more Sam Lafferty. There's none of this. Okay, we're going to try to make this work. You got to carry these wingers. Like, Elias Pettersson has got to make it work with Connor Garland and Nils Höglander. I know one thing you said yesterday was, you know, that Connor Garland hasn't been able to find much success with Elias Pettersson. I'm hoping that tonight we're going to see kind of a different look for those two together.
I think part of the thought process potentially for Tocchet in constructing this line together is maybe thinking that, okay, in Höglander and Garland, you've got two of your most tenacious high motor wingers who just win battles all over the ice, are massive pains in the rear on the forecheck. And I wonder if part of that is, okay, Pettersson as a center, he's going to be the F3. He's going to be sort of above the play. If he now has wingers that can win those battles down low, that it can perhaps help that line spend more time in the offensive zone, that it can even spark Pettersson's own forechecking game. Because when he's at his best, he's able to pick off a lot of passes. He's able to use his anticipation to create problems for the opposition as well. So I wonder if that's part of the rationale in moving Garland up the lineup to play with Pettersson, beyond just the Garland's a pretty good playmaker and brings some offensive value aspect.
A guy who's not getting the best wingers tonight, Elias Lindholm, playing with Sam Lafferty and Ilya Mikheyev. Of course, at second line, Miller, Besser, Suter, no surprise there. But Mikheyev, Lindholm, Lafferty. We're going to get to it in anyone else because we both made some lineups here. I don't know what to do with Elias Lindholm. Like, you need to get Elias Lindholm going, and I really think the place to do that is the top six. Like, I would think maybe you move Garland down to the Miller, Besser line, and then Lindholm goes up to play on the wing with Elias Pettersson, but I just don't know, because I'm just trying to look at this through the lens of what's going to work by playoff time. And it just feels like that bottom six right now isn't going to be able to work during playoffs. And look, when you get Dakota Joshua back, obviously this lineup looks different, but I don't know, Harm. I'm struggling to figure out what this bottom six is going to be able to do tonight. But hey, hopefully maybe they'll go out and score a few goals. I look at that bottom six and it just looks like, okay, these are the rest of our guys. Let's put them all down there.
It really does feel like that. Again, as I sort of mentioned on last show, I wonder if part of the logic is also just give Lindholm some speed. But the problem is Mikheyev and Lafferty just don't have enough offensive touch to be creating scoring chances. And you can't rely on Lindholm to drive offense, because as we've seen, he's more of a complementary supporting player rather than somebody that has a dynamic skill to create plays and elevate other players. So I'm with you. I think it's going to have to be the top six that really carries the mail for this team, which for a large chunk of especially the first half of the season and up until the All-Star break, they didn't need to put that type of pressure on the top six because, yeah, the top six was effective most of the way. But when they did have an off night, they had one of the best third lines in the NHL to bail them out. They definitely don't have that now.
So I'm making wait any longer. Jeff Patterson waiting in the wings, ready to join us. And Jeff is brought to you by Greta, the home of our electric watch parties. Greta is our spot to chill pregame, postgame, and all through the offseason as well. Just 10 minutes away by walking, of course, from Rogers Arena. Check out Greta Bar YVR today. We're going to have another watch party. It's getting announced soon, folks. We're going to have a watch party. It's going to be a lot of fun. But one event we're going to have, and we'll talk about it with Jeff as well later on, is the event. Actually, let's talk about it right now. Jeff, we've already told people about it. Saturday, April 20th at the Hollywood Theater in Kitsilano. Special tribute to our friend Jason Botchford. And of course, you know, talking about the Canucks playoffs as well. It's going to be a fun event, and you're going to be a big part of that event as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, Botch obviously didn't get a chance to cover a lot of playoff hockey as those of us that have been on the beat for a while. And so his final season covering this team was 2018-19 and the draft that was held here in Vancouver and Bud Colson's draft year, but certainly wasn't any playoff hockey for the Vancouver Canucks. And then in the bubble, unfortunately, Jason wasn't with us. And so, yes, I think it's trying to be a celebration of the return of playoff hockey while we honor Jason's legacy. So there'll be lots of botch stories, some that have probably been told a bunch of times, maybe some new ones that have been unearthed along the way. You know, all with an eye to playoff hockey, whatever that looks like for the Vancouver Canucks, as long as it's going to last, we'll see. Again, so many balls in the air about where they're going to finish and where other teams are going to finish when the dust settles. So still too soon to try. I know you guys were trying to pick playoff opponents the other day, but sort of a fruitless mission there. But the night at the Commodore back in 2019 was an amazing night. I don't know that this is going to be a replication of that. I think there'll be some similarities, but yeah, I mean, the bottom line is the Canucks are returning to the playoffs. They haven't quite clinched their spot yet, but they're going to. And unfortunately, we won't have Botch around to cover it and document it, but he'll be there in spirit. And so, yeah, if people are looking for a little pre-playoff fun, good afternoon on the 20th of April. Make plans to come out and join us at the Hollywood.
Going to be a good time. Going to be a great time. Okay, Jeff, final month of the season here. Playoffs start on April 20th. Like, that's when the Stanley Cup playoffs start here. Biggest question facing the Canucks. I wrote it for Canucks Army today. I wrote down five. Tried to pick five. What's the biggest question facing this team? I'll tell you mine. Mine's the power play. Mine is unequivocally the power play. But what do you think is the biggest question facing this team down the final month of the season and heading into the playoffs?
Well, let the record show that I read your piece. So I don't want to sound like I'm stealing, but you had so many good options there. I think for me, it's just best players. And are they going to be up to the challenge? And that dovetails into the power play, certainly. But you know, all we have to go on is the bubble, which was the most unique experience that anybody is ever going to experience at that level in the National Hockey League. Now, guys like Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes in their first look at playoff hockey came through with flying colors. And we all know that they pushed Vegas in that second round. You know, it's funny the other day talking to Brock Besser and just asking him if he was starting to view everything through a playoff prism. And quite frankly, I was shocked to hear his answer where he said, I haven't played in the playoffs technically. And he dropped the technically in there. But I thought, isn't that interesting? Like, that's how he views that bubble experience. Like, there was intensity. Okay, maybe the St. Louis Blues as the defending champs didn't have the intensity. But those Vegas games, you had to grind for every inch available. I think the hockey on the ice, once the puck dropped, it replicated some degree of playoff hockey. But nobody in the stands. You don't have to go into hostile environments. Certainly you didn't have to travel. And so, yes, this wasn't the true test of playoff hockey. So guys like Besser and Demko and Pettersson and Hughes, they are going to have to learn on the fly. And I guess for me, the question is, will they be up to the challenge? And for me, playoff hockey is all about matchups, right? Like, and again, you don't know who they're going to draw, but it's about matchups and then it's about adjustments. Like the team that loses that opener, it's on them to make the necessary adjustments so that they don't fall down 2-0. And then if you're the team that gets up, if the other team comes back, then it's on you to, you know, figure out with a couple of games under your belt now, you know, what's worked for you, what hasn't. And so I love the chess match between the coaches. I love the fact that the, you know, road team doesn't have the, like, you know, we always talk about, oh, home team last change in the regular season. Sure. It means a lot when you can dictate the matchups. And if you can get a particular checking line out against the other team's top players, you know, can the Canucks' best players fight through that? Now, JT Miller's motor is always running. I don't have much doubt that JT Miller is going to show up and compete and be able to produce. Some of these other guys, it is a different animal. And I'm not saying that they won't. And I use the bubble experience as proof that they have been able to elevate. But I think we all know. I mean, the market's on fire right now about Elias Pettersson and kind of how quiet he is. And so it's on him to silence people, to make them eat their words. And I'm not a guy that wants to bet against EP40. But I would like to see some signs of life here over these final 14 games so that this isn't the tone and the conversation that's carrying on as they get to games 81, 82, and ultimately to the first game of the playoffs. So I want to see some signs of life from him. You guys were just talking about the change, and we'll see if Garland and Hoglander can get in and be buzzsaws and, you know, hound pucks for him and create some space and all that kind of stuff. And ultimately, it's on EP40, though. I just think he's got to dig in a little bit more. He's been fumbling the pucks. He's been fighting the puck, which we're not used to seeing from him. And I'm looking for a smooth game here one of these nights. And it hasn't happened of late, but every night's a new night. We saw him run the league essentially in mid-January. So it's there. We know what he's capable of, but certainly would like to see some signs of life from him here as early as tonight.
What are your thoughts on the new look, top nine especially? What are you looking for? Are you excited by these combinations? Not particularly enthused? What are your big picture thoughts there?
Yeah, not totally enthused, but again, I sort of get where Rick Tocchet's coming from, that they're a forward short. Like, you know, they missed the opportunity at the trade deadline, and their hands were tied a little bit by their own doing to some degree, but this is a team that needed one more scoring winger. And you know, they keep talking about Dakota Joshua, but you heard Rick Tocchet this morning, and I asked, like, has there been any kind of setback? And he said, no, just being overly cautious. But for people that keep thinking that he's going to be back today or tomorrow, or it's not going to happen. Like, you know, I hope by the end of the homestand, but certainly the three games this week, not anticipating seeing Dakota Joshua. So Tocchet doesn't have that luxury of sort of slotting Joshua back and then building around that. I don't know. I mean, I was fascinated yesterday when you kind of broke down Garland and Pettersson and their history. But you know, there's no reason that it can't work, but it hasn't in the past. So I guess I have somewhat lowered expectations. And you know, Hoglander's had an incredible season, but he's got a little bit quiet of late as well. And just he and Petey haven't really been able to manufacture anything. That line with Besser and Miller and tonight Suter, I think they'll be fine. But I wrote about this on Sunday. Like, if you look who scored the goals, Besser had the goal the other night. Mikheyev scored for the first time in forever, set up by Miller, and Miller opened the scoring against Colorado. Like, three of the last four goals have been that line. Like, they can't be a one-line team with a power play that's not going anywhere. So there are some alarm bells going off in my head. No panic button yet, but certainly some alarm bells. And then I agree with you, Harm, on that third line. And it was funny because I asked Elias Lindholm today, I said, like, how difficult is this for you to try to find your game while constantly having new line mates? And there was this massive pause before he answered. And I was like, you don't even need to answer the question. Like, you just said enough right there. You could see the wheel spinning. I mean, he was kind of trying to come up with a politically correct answer and went with something along the lines of, I know that, you know, that year in Calgary with Gaudreau and Tkachuk, like, that doesn't happen very often. And I'm a veteran and, you know, I just got to make it work. But there was sort of this sigh and a pause. And I thought that said it all. And it is tough. Like, yes, he needs to do more, but like, he really has played with just about everybody in, you know, just over a month. Like, he just continues to get fed new line mates. And now all of a sudden you're asking a guy to find his game with Ilya Mikheyev on one side, who has what, the one goal since Christmas, and Sam Lafferty, whose only goal since the 1-0 win in Buffalo, when he scored the only goal back in mid-January, pinballed off about four guys in Seattle and eventually bounced off him and in. Like, he hadn't used his stick to put a puck in the net. So that's a big ask for Elias Lindholm right now, to try to rediscover the good stuff, playing on the line with Mikheyev and Lafferty. And then you get a fourth line where, you know, Nils Åman apparently is a better option, at least for tonight, than PDG. And they've taken Vasily Podkolzin and lowered him in the lineup. And I think that maybe takes a little bit of pressure off him to produce, because he's played six games and there hasn't been a bottom line. He's been all right. He hasn't looked out of place. But I think this is more in a fourth line role, maybe an idea of where he would be slotted when Dakota Joshua comes back. And I think you just ask him to try to be more of an energy guy, get in on the forecheck, be physical, and don't worry so much about producing offense on that line with Teddy Bluger and Nils Amon.
Jeff, you just said a lot of names there. So this is a good time for me to set you up here, because Nar, in our YouTube live chat, regular listener and viewer of the show, is asking if we can get a JPAT do something. Who needs to do something here?
Well, I think you go back to the Elias Elias, take your pick. How about both of them? But I think for me, it's Elias Pettersson. I think I need to see. And again, at the end of the night, like, it'd be great if he had a 3 or 4 point night and was electric. I don't even need that right now, though. I keep saying dig in. You heard Rick talk at the night say, like, there's more for a lot of these guys. He's got to get it, that he's got to unlock it. Was it break the seal? I think was the term he used. And we all know that there's more there for Elias Pettersson. And so that's what I'm looking for. I'm just looking for a dynamic, a playmaker, a guy that's one step ahead of the opponents when he's got the stick, the puck on his stick, making things happen in the offensive zone. Again, you know, if he sets up his line mates and they don't score, you can't control that. But Pettersson can control his actions, and I am a believer that there's a whole lot more there. Like, forget the contract and all that. I'm just looking at the player right now in isolation, and he's the guy. And when he's on, he obviously can carry a team and dominate a hockey game. They're a much better club, obviously, if he's producing. And so he's the guy. And then Lindholm. But again, I just went through the reasons why maybe it's not fair necessarily to have huge expectations on Lindholm. Lindholm's got to keep doing all the defensive stuff, the faceoffs and penalty killing and those types of things, late game situations. But he does have to find a way to contribute even a little bit here, more than he has over the last 13 or 14 games.
Overall, from the team perspective, they've pretty much got a playoff spot locked. The stakes for finishing first in the Western Conference or even the Pacific Division aren't particularly high, given that you could finish first in the conference and still end up playing Vegas in round one. So given that, from a team perspective, it doesn't feel like there's a lot on the line. So going down the stretch, what purpose do you think it sort of serves? Are you particularly worried about wins and losses, or is it more that you're kind of looking for these individual trends, whether it's Pettersson, Lindholm, or the power play? What are you kind of looking for down the stretch? What do you actually put stock into?
I think they have got away from the staples that talks about. I mean, you look at the two goals that Washington scored the other day, you know, bad turnovers by defensemen, and then that compounding of mistakes that when they're on, you know, mistakes are going to happen. It's a fast sport. The other team's trying to force those mistakes. Like, you have to live with mistakes, but I think you have to make sure that you don't compound them. And we saw that, certainly the Ovechkin goal. I mean, just the entire team running around in its own zone. So I want to see them get back to their staples. I want to see them try to eliminate some of those mistakes. And when the mistakes happen, you know, have somebody there to cover up for a buddy. And you know, whether it's the guts of the ice, it talks about, like, he has made it abundantly clear what this team has to do to be successful. And for much of the season they have, but for the last couple of games, whatever. But I mean, you were out on that road trip. I mean, the game in Vegas, the game in, they came back against Winnipeg, even the game in Los Angeles. So it took them a while, but once they found their footing in that game, you know, they were on, and they gave up, you know, a goal against LA, a goal in Vegas, and none against Winnipeg. So they're not that far removed from a really successful run, but just the fact that Colorado and Washington, at the first sign of adversity, there was a real sag. And look, they're going to trail in the playoffs. Like, they're not going to get the lead and always be in front. And so I want to see them handle adversity a little bit better. I want to see them stick to their staples. And then ultimately, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see the power play get going. Tocchet was talking about that earlier today, that he thinks that they're generating enough looks that it's basically just on the individual players now to finish. And Pettersson had that chance in the one power play they had against Washington the other night, and he didn't convert, but a lot of nights he would score on that opportunity. I think they can be a little bit sharper. It looked like Lindholm at practice yesterday is going to get back onto that first unit. So, you know, to me, that's loading up at least as much as the Canucks can do with their offensive players. And we'll see what the power play looks like here. But you're right. Wins and losses individually, not of, you know, the utmost importance right now, if it's all about getting into a rhythm and finding their game again over the final 14. But I will say this, Arn, like, I think it would be massively disappointing to get this far into the season and then have the Oilers you know, beat you at the wire. Like, I just think that first place in the division, home ice in the first round, but home ice in the second round, if you get through, like, I'm not too worried about the conference. If they get to the third round of the playoffs, this has been a massively successful season for a team that really didn't have any kind of expectations of going to the conference final. But if you do have designs on winning a round, then I think it's important. You've come this far, you've built this lead. Don't let it slip, because I think optically it would serve as a little bit of a letdown. And I forget Oiler fans piling on, you know, they would if they come all the way back and they reel in the Canucks. So, you know, if they need some things to play for, to me it is just maintain that gap, try to run the Oilers out of real estate, essentially, with 14 games to go. They've got those games in hand. But, you know, if the Canucks can go 9-5 over their final 14 games, that's probably, I mean, the Oilers at that point almost have to run the table, and the Oilers have some tough games left, two against Colorado, and they still have to go into Toronto and Winnipeg, among others. And then they've got the head-to-head with the Canucks as well. So those are sorts of things that I'm looking for. But I would also say in isolation, like, I don't want to make more of this than it is, but look, they've won one of the first three games on the homestand. Like, we all fell into this trap of come off the road, playing well, 9 at home. Like, this is where they're going to put the hammer down. And they've won one of the first three, and they've had some letdowns in two of the three. Like, get it right tonight. You got a Buffalo team that's coming off last night in Seattle. They played on Saturday, so this is 3-4 for them. You're talking about the goaltending. If they don't see UPL, like, that's a massive win for the Canucks. Devin Levi, if he gets the start, he hasn't played an NHL game since January 24th. Like, test him. Put pucks on net. Make the goalie make some freaking saves instead of missing the target the way they did the other night. And I don't think that they've been guilty of that a lot this season, but boy, Rick Tocchet sort of held that up. I was surprised he didn't have the stat sheet at the podium on Saturday right after the game. But I mean, he was quick to point out the number of block shots, but just the number that missed the target as well. JT Miller had a couple of looks and, you know, missed the net by a mile. Like, so here's a goalie that hasn't faced NHL shooters. Like, he's played well in the AHL, but that's the American League. Like, test him. If they see Devin Levi, put pucks on net. Look, they've got off to great starts in all three games on the homestand. They've opened the scoring in the first 2 minutes of all three games. So it hasn't been their starts. It's been those lulls later in games. And so I just want to see them pounce on a Buffalo team that's a long way from home, has a lot to play for, and is playing reasonably well. But I still think that the Canucks sort of have to get this one right, because if there's a lot of noise in the market after two losses, you know, imagine the storylines if they come out of the wrong end of the scoreline in this one tonight.
Against the Sabres of all teams. Jeff, our next segment here, we're going to give our kind of best lineups with and without Dakota Joshua. I'm not going to make you give yours, but where do you stand on the lotto line? Like, could the lotto line be reunited? Should they be reunited? Where do you stand on the lotto line at this stage?
I think I'd keep that ticket in my back pocket for when they're down or even tied in games, you know, and you need some juice, as Tocchet likes to say. You know, I do think that there's enough there. And again, they don't have to go to Joshua right now. But when they get Joshua back, I still think that this can be a three-line team. But I think you saw in January when you had those three guys playing together that they found something. And it would certainly give Elias Pettersson, you know, the best set of line mates that he's had all season. And the results were there for them when they went through Jersey and New York and into Pittsburgh on that 7-game road trip. So, you know, it's not something that they have to start with. Again, I go back to playoffs and matchups. If you're loading up, I think the other team can counter, you know, with a checking line and see if they can't neutralize. And so I think that's why Rick Tocchet's best interest probably to try to spread his offense around a little bit. But boy, there are situations in games just like putting, you know, Hronek and Hughes out there with, like, really juice it. And, you know, why wouldn't you? So I think it's situational for me. And we've seen it from time to time, and it hasn't necessarily worked here of late. But just because it hasn't worked of late, I still go back to the larger sample in January and know that those three guys can come through for you. And at some point down the stretch and into the playoffs, they quite likely will have to come through for the Vancouver Canucks to have success.
Jeff, good stuff. I asked you before. We know exactly who it is tonight. It's Irfan Gafar, co-hosting Rinkwide Vancouver with you. It's going to be a good time. Jeff, thanks so much for doing this.
All right, guys. It's always fun being on with you. I'm looking forward to the game tonight.
Yep, there's Jeff Patterson. You can catch him, as I said, on Rinkwide Vancouver after the game, anywhere you get your podcasts. And yeah, it's going to be a good show tonight. Jeff and I had a great show on Saturday. Going to be a lot of fun to see Jeff on Rinkwide Vancouver post-game.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Time for our Light the Lamp contest, Harm. And I'm excited for this one because I've had my pick for a while now. It's time for our Light the Lamp contest brought to you by our friends over at Four Winds Brewing. Vancouver is playing Buffalo tonight. We want to know who's going to score the first goal for Vancouver. If you nail it, you could win a $25 gift card to the Four Winds Tap Room located at 72nd and River Road in Delta. Enter by following us on social media, keep an eye out for today's show clip, and comment who you think will light the lamp and score the first goal tonight. Winners will be contacted directly. Check us out at Canucks Army or at Canucks Convo on Twitter, at CanucksArmy.com on Instagram, and Canucks Army on Facebook. And make sure you ask about Four Winds Light Lager at your local liquor store or have some delivered to your front door through the online shop at fourwindsbrewing.ca. Harm, Brian Choi saying Carson Soucy in the chat. I am going with Elias Lindholm. On the power play, scramble play in front of the net. They're going to get pucks on net on the power play. Elias Lindholm's going to bury it. First goal of the game. Elias Lindholm.
Nice. I'm going to go with Hoglander.
I like it. That's a great pick. And look, in all seriousness, like that's a line you're going to be looking. I'm looking for a lot from that line tonight. You need to see something from Elias Pettersson's line there. And again, a lot of this goes, the conversation is, oh, it's all about Elias Pettersson. His line mate's got to do something too. Like his line mate's got to pull their weight a little bit more. So anyways, our thanks again to Jeff for joining us. And now let's get to anyone else brought to you by DoorDash. It's our listener's chance to get involved and hit us up in the YouTube live chat. And it's also our listener's chance to get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and enter code NATION25. That's all capital letters, NATION, and the numbers 25. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms do apply. With Double Dash on DoorDash, you can order from multiple restaurants or stores in the same delivery without additional delivery fees. So everyone can get what they want and need. No additional delivery fees. Crazy stuff. Double Dash on DoorDash. Okay, get your anyone else's into the chat, folks. We're going to kick it off. We're going to kick off anyone else, Harm, with our ideas for the Canucks' best lineups with and without Dakota Joshua. As head coach Rick Tocchet said today, they're being extra cautious with Dakota Joshua. We don't know when he's going to be back, but eventually Dakota Joshua will be back from the hand injury that he suffered when he got into that fight in Chicago. So we're going to go, let's pull up our lines without Dakota Joshua first. And I'll go first. Grady, you can pull up mine here. My lineup, Harm, I'm not trying to say Tockett's got the best lineup he can right now, but very, very similar to what they have right now. Actually, that's exactly the same as what they have right now.
I was going to say,
I actually think that's the exact same as what they have right now. I thought I had something different.
I think the wingers are flipped on the fourth line. I think Pod Colson might be on the right and Oman might be on the left, but that's it.
Well, that's the recipe to success right there. It's Oman and Pod Colson just got to switch and you're fine. No. Okay, this is very, very similar to what they're rolling with right now. And look, I think, and the one thing I'll say is that I'd like to see Lindholm go up, Suter go to the third line. That might be the only tweak I make to this lineup. But right now, like the lineup I wrote down is actually exactly what they're going with tonight. So, hey, maybe I'm right and maybe Rick Tocchet's right. We have the same idea here on the Canucks' best possible lineup without Dakota Joshua. I'd say the only thing I want to kind of amend with this one is I might put Pia Suter as third line center, move Lindholm into the top six, and Garland moves down to play with Miller and Besser. Just that's the only thing I'd say about this lineup, the only tweak I'd make to their current lineup. But I do like their lineup right now. I do.
I'm going to mix it up a little. I am going to reunite the Lotto line. And the reason I say this is because, first of all, you're going to get Elias Pettersson hopefully going. JT Miller is the best line mate Pettersson has ever had. You look at their track record together, the on-ice results have been crooked. So I'm going to go with that. And then I'm going to go with the second line of Hoglander, Lindholm, Garland, a third line of Mikheyev, Bluger, Suter, and then Podkolzin, Oman, Lafferty on the fourth line. Like I said, I think the main point is getting Pettersson going, but also in this scenario, Lindholm has better line mates than Mikheyev and Lafferty. He actually has some offensive drivers to play with. You give him Hoglander, you give him Garland. Those are two possession type guys that have at least some offensive touch compared to if he's playing with Mikheyev and Lafferty. I'll be honest, I don't have really any even strength offensive expectations for Lindholm. And then obviously because you're stacking your top six there, you got a third line of Mikheyev, Bluger, Suter, which definitely isn't sexy, but I think that works as a low event responsible, just don't get scored online. And I'll be honest, how much worse is that third line than Lindholm, Lafferty, and Mikheyev? I'd argue it isn't that much worse. Now, I will say I'm doing this as like a temporary spark to try and get Pettersson going to find some new combinations. This isn't something that I'd be rolling into, let's say, the playoffs necessarily, because you can afford to do this against, let's say, Buffalo, and you've got Montreal next because they don't have very deep lineups. So you can sort of stack your top line, and you're probably still going to be fine with your second, third, and fourth lines being okay with their matchups. Obviously, as you run into opponents like Dallas and Vegas later in the season, that's when, for example, the Dallas quote-unquote third line, which is really why Johnston, Stankoven, and Jamie Benn, that's where they'll probably feast on some of your weaker lines. But for now, considering the quality of opponents, I think this works to kind of give you a spark and just get a few guys going.
Okay, this is interesting that you said this, because Grady, pull up my lineup here with Dakota Joshua, because I love your thought process, Harm, of getting a spark going. I'm of the opinion that not only do I think Rick Tocchet won't do it, but I don't think they can do it. I don't think the Canucks can go to the Lotto line if that's the rest of their lineup with what we saw in your lineup. Like, I think it's fine, but I will point out that the only time we have seen the Lotto line to start games, like we're not just talking when you and I bring it up here, we're not just talking about late in games, you need a spark putting them together. We're talking about starting games and keeping them together all game. The only time we've seen it this year and the only time we've seen it work, Harm, was when that third line was absolutely buzzing at the start of January. So I have them in my best possible lineup with Dakota Joshua. I've got Bluger back centering that line with Garland Joshua, and then I've got a third line of Nils Hoglander, Elias Lindholm, and Pia Suter. I just think that's a much deeper lineup. Like, I think that's a third line that can compete with some of those top teams, and I just don't think you can afford to go with the Lotto line if Dakota Joshua is not healthy, but he gives you so many more options when he actually does return. So, like, I look at this and say this is a lineup that they could take into the playoffs and they could do damage in the playoffs with.
I don't know about playoffs again, just because teams are so much deeper. Again, a big part of it is you're playing Buffalo and Montreal next. Why can't, like, they aren't deep teams at all. They're both sort of, especially in Montreal's case, one line teams. I absolutely think if you have Lotto line together, that if Lindholm, you know, like Lindholm, Hoglander, and Garland would be a totally fine second line without Joshua, just for the interim, to try and get Pettersson going. I think it matters to give him some help, even if it comes at the sacrifice of, okay, we're going to be trying to hold on for dear life with the rest of our lineup. Now, going to the playoffs with Joshua in, yeah, like I said, it's I don't mind it as like a plan B option, but I don't have the Lotto line together, which is kind of ironic, because you'd think, oh, if I have them together without Joshua, I'd have them with. But this is more for temporary spark, the case that I had for putting the lotto line together. I've got something a little different for, I've got it up here. So when Joshua's back in the lineup, I agree that you got to put them together, Joshua, Bluger, Garland, but I've got them as a third line. I've got Suter, Miller, Besser as your top line. It almost doesn't even matter who the third player with Miller and Besser is. They just always produce. And then I've got Hoglander, Pettersson, Lindholm. I think at some point Lindholm, you have to maybe give it another shot with him at wing, because I want to reunite that third line together when Joshua was healthy. They just had a different level of chemistry. The way they read off each other on the forecheck, pressure pucks. And so if you're not going to have Lindholm at 3C, then, I mean, I'm not going to have him centering the fourth line. He's got to slot in on the wing, perhaps. And that's where I've got him with Pettersson. Hopefully, you're able to make that work.
I find it interesting. I like your lineup. I do. In a perfect world, I'll say in a perfect world or my ideal scenario, Elias Lindholm figures it out and works out in the top six. And I want him to be a top six winger. I said it yesterday. It's such a hard question to answer, because I think you need Lindholm to be playing better than he has been to make this lineup that you have work. But I don't disagree that it's a good lineup, especially if you get Lindholm clicking and really just playing like the player that they thought they were getting when they made this trade.
Yeah, the concern I had with your lineup with Lotto line is if you end up, let's say, going up against LA and they just go, or Vegas, and they just go, all right, we're going to feed Philip Deneau to the Lotto line and we're going to go head to head. Or William Karlsson, look at how effective Karlsson's line was against the McDavid line in the playoffs in the second round. If they just go, all right, we've got elite matchup centers, we're just going to blanket and shadow you, then in the playoffs, if you're able to neutralize the Lotto line, I'm not convinced they have enough scoring further down the lineup, especially if you're technically penciling in Bluger, Joshua, Garland. I like them a lot better as a third line. I don't love them necessarily as a second line in playoff hockey. That would be my only concern. But I think the point is, in both of our scenarios, there is some sort of level of weakness, or there is some question mark, or there is some concern, because until Lindholm gets going, until you maximize his value offensively, you are a top nine and maybe even arguably a top six forward short.
I think that's a great take. I think a lot of this, like we can throw out line combos. We can talk about playoff potential and who's going to play against who and who the Canucks might face in round one. We can talk about all that. The big wild card here is Elias Lindholm. Like, Elias Lindholm has to get going at some point. And again, if we look at the original lineup, he is going to be centering that third line, and he's not going to have the best wingers tonight, but we'll see how it goes tonight. I thought that'd be a fun little segment. Let's see if people have any thoughts in the chat here. Seems pretty split. Nar said, I'm with Quads here, but partially because I think he likes squirrels more than Harm. Syndicat, Lindholm was always overrated. This is who he is. What do you make of that take, Harm?
I think he's got better to show offensively. I think the hope of getting the 2021-22 version of Lindholm that was wheeling it around with Gaudreau and Tkachuk, my hopes are definitely down for that. Put it this way, I don't think he's going to reach the ceiling that I thought he would offensively when they first made the trade, but he's still better than this. Like, he has to be better than this. I think that's where I'm kind of at. Like, but expectations are definitely tempered, but the bar is still higher than where his actual performance level is right now.
Okay, this one is about Elias Pettersson. This one is from Karin. I got his name right. For future seasons, does this team look for a scoring winger for Petey, or are they just waiting for Lekkerimäki to develop? I don't think you have to have both, right? Like, I think you can, I think you can have both. Like, I don't think you need to pick one or the other. You don't need to go out and sign, like, oh, we're going to get a top six forward in free agency and we're going to give him a lot of term and, you know, a lot of money. I don't think you have to do that. I think you can find kind of a stopgap. Like, I think you can find someone that can play with Elias Pettersson for the next 2 years. And, you know, I think you're hoping that Ilya Mikheyev has some sort of bounce back here and that you might have some of the answers in house. But I don't think you have to decide, okay, we're going to wait for Lekker Mackey to develop, even though that might be the long-term solution. The thing we always hear about Lekker Mackey is he kind of projects more as a second line winger. Well, is Elias Pettersson going to be on the second line beyond just this season? We'll see. If so, maybe that's a really dominant second line that you can have. But look, I think the long term, you want Elias Pettersson being your first line winger. And I think you want to get him first line center, and you want to get him some actual first line wingers at some point.
Yeah, it should be a priority to get him some help this summer, this offseason. Of course, it's not going to be easy because you're not necessarily going to have a lot of cap space. And you've got other priorities in the sense that you're going to have to almost retool your blue line. You've got a lot of expiring contracts there. You've got some important decisions on UFAs. There are a lot of priorities to be juggling, but you should be aiming to give Pettersson some more help heading into next season, because look, most franchise centers have more help than Elias Pettersson has had this season. They usually have at least one really high quality running mate.
Oh, absolutely. This one from Roland. If Lindholm doesn't figure it out for the rest of the season and the playoffs, then what? Then he goes to UFA. He's going to sign with a team, and it ain't going to be an 8x8. Like, it's not going to be an 8x8. And we talked about this yesterday, so we won't repeat it all. But yeah, that rumored 8x8 contract, reported 8x8 contract in Calgary that was turned down, that might come back to haunt Elias Lindholm. But again, maybe he just didn't want to live in Calgary, right? Bring that up at least 3 times a week.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's nothing you can really do. You're just going to need to lean on other guys to step up. Then internally, you're going to need Hoglander to not just be at a top six caliber level on, let's say, 2/3 of every game, like 50 to 60% of games. You're going to need him to like be on almost every night, which is a lot to ask for a player who's only just reestablishing himself this season, who started in a fourth line role. But that's going to be the expectation. You're going to need Ilya Mikheyev. You're going to need some level of, hey, can you show us a bit more? Sort of almost following up on what he's done maybe the last few games. You're going to need more from him. It's going to increase the pressure on a player like Pia Suter. It's going to increase the demands that, hey, once Joshua comes back, you need, not just want, you need the third line to get back to the level that they were before Joshua got hurt, which is part of, like, that's a question mark for me as well, is sometimes you find magical chemistry in season, and then for whatever reason, if there's a disruption to that, if there's an injury, you can sometimes put the same guys together again and you just don't get that same level of chemistry. Like, think about, you know, different circumstances, but in 2019-20, for example, the Lotto line was one of the best lines in the NHL. They came back the next year in that shortened 56-game season, the same guys, and for whatever reason, they just weren't that dominant. They had to be split up. That's when we first saw Miller playing at center as a Vancouver Canucks. So that's something that I'm wondering about as well, is I think a lot of us assume that when Joshua comes back, that it's going to give this lineup a massive lift, and I'm sure it will help, but it's not a guarantee that they're immediately going to pick up on the chemistry that they had before his injury. And that's something that you're going to need come playoff time if Lindholm doesn't find his form.
Okay. The chat really thinks Lindholm's ending up in Florida. Few people throwing out the Florida, saying he's gonna follow Tkachuk. $6 million is $8 million in Calgary.
They got us re-sign Reinhardt. They just re-signed Forsling to an extension that needs a raise. Like, they've got their own guys that they need to re-sign. Plus, they don't really have a need for another center. They got Barkov. Bennett's totally fine as a second line center. Lundell's a quality young third line center. They don't need a player like Lindholm.
I still think it's Boston. I know you think the same. We threw it out yesterday. We both think it's going to be Boston. Okay, RP88. Do you think the coaching staff will tell Joshua not to fight as often when he comes back, given the impact it's had on the team? Yes. Unequivocally, yes. I don't think Dakota Joshua is going to fight again. Like, I don't think Dakota Joshua is going to need to be told, hey, don't go fight. Like, I don't think Dakota Joshua is going to fight after what's happened here. Like, he fought in a game against Chicago, and at the time we were all like, yeah, this is awesome, but then you hurt your hand. Like, that sucks. That really sucks for Dakota Joshua. And as we know, it has sucked for the Vancouver Canucks. Okay, NAR's got a few heater questions in here. We'll get to the silly one first. You can have $15 million, but you'll be chased for the rest of your life by a snail. You die instantly if the snail touches you, and it always knows where you are. Do you take the money? And he also said that the snail knows how to get on airplanes.
I'd take the money.
I would too. You can use snail defense. I asked him. He said,
hire a security team also. You have 15 million.
That's a good point. You could hire a security team and have them, stay up.
All you need is one guy.
Yeah. And he said, we're not allowed to harm the snail, which, I did ask. I did inquire, but no one wants to hurt any snails. Anyways, I think we'd both take the money. I think that's really easy. Okay. Here's another one from Gnar. Rutherford secretly has a genie lamp with one wish remaining, and he uses it to pick any player he wants off another roster to play on PD's wing. Who does Rutherford pick? I'm going to say not a winger. If Rutherford has a genie lamp and he can pluck any player and put him on the roster, he's using the same wish I am, and it is Sidney Crosby, no doubt in my mind.
Oh, yeah, 100%, because he'd be like, the championship pedigree and giving these guys just some experience, leadership, been there, done that, known winner. Rutherford would have a bias towards Crosby for sure.
Yeah, it's Crosby. It's the answer. The answer is definitely Crosby. Definitely Crosby. But in the spirit of the question, Harm, is there a winger that you can think of? Like a winger. If you had a secret genie lamp, not a center. Let's say this doesn't include Leon Draisaitl. You can't pick Leon Draisaitl. No centers. The winger that you would want to play with Elias Pettersson.
Oh man, there's so many good options. I feel like I'm gonna miss an obvious one.
You said Sam Reinhart. I thought about Sam Reinhart a little bit as soon as you said it. Like I was thinking about this question. But again, if you have a genie lamp, you can pick anyone. You can
aim higher than Sam Reinhart, even though he's having a great year. I mean, it would be pretty fun watching Kucherov on Pettersson's wing. Just in terms of how wickedly Kucherov sees the ice, being like a dual threat, like elite shooter and elite playmaker. I think that would be really fun to watch with Pettersson. Plus, and I know this isn't part of the question, but can you imagine what Kucherov would do to the power play as like your fifth guy that you're adding to round the unit out? I know it may not necessarily be the most practical answer in the sense that, Kucherov isn't maybe the best defensively and he's not the biggest guy and can play off hockey. Like Pettersson and Kucherov, do you maybe want a bigger body like a Mikko Rantanen in there instead? I mean, maybe, but Kucherov would be a really fun answer.
The chat is rolling in with some answers. Syndicat says Matthew Tkachuk. Sinochik said P played really well with Kucherov at the All-Star game. Karin says Kaprizov. Grim Studio says Pasternak, and we got Gnar as well said he said Panarin, excuse me, for some reason. So Grim Studio wrote Pasta, so Pasternak, and then Gnar said Bread, and for some reason I was like, oh, that's also David Pasternak, but obviously that's Artemi Panarin. A lot of good wingers. Someone brings up Brady Tkachuk. I don't think Brady Tkachuk fits the criteria, but Clayton Keller, Nylander. There's so many good options. So many good options out there. Okay, I think we're good on anyone else. I'm trying to scroll the chat. This is just a question that I'll answer. Captain Canuck, can Lakarimäki join the team for playoffs, or did he have to join Abbotsford before the deadline? Oh, actually, I don't know the answer to this. He is eligible for the playoffs. Is he not, Harm?
I don't know the exact CBA rules on that, to be honest.
I think he's eligible. I'd have to go read Dave Hall's articles, but he has, I'm 90% sure he's talked about Abbotsford coming in for, here, hold on. I can literally find it.
Matt and Blake talked about it today and they were saying he's not eligible for the AHL.
That would make sense because there was the deadline and that's why they had to move Pod Colson down, but I should ask Dave. It's funny, I read the question out because I was like, oh, this is a question. I skimmed the question. I was like, oh, it's about if he's going to come over. And Dave Hall wrote about this yesterday. His team was eliminated from the SHL playoffs yesterday. So now there's a decision to make. It sure sounds like Team Sweden's going to want
Philip Johansson play a game or two for Abbotsford last season?
Yeah, that rings a bell.
Yeah, he did, but then he was
healthy. Did they suck?
Oh, yeah, no, he did play playoffs. No, he did play playoffs. He only played playoffs. He played no regular season games. So, yes, this is what I thought. Yeah, this is what I thought. He's eligible. Because Philip Johansson came over. Yeah.
Three playoff games and didn't play in the regular season, spent the entire year in the SHL last season.
All right, tell Matt and Blake, Grady. You better let Matt and Blake know.
You are fake news. I was going to say you should we should end the show and then you can come back after the final ad read and you can give us the lowdown like you did yesterday.
I think people I hope people saw it yesterday because I know when the outro plays, a lot of people leave. But yes, I did get the answer from the GM that I texted yesterday to the question we had on yesterday's show. And for those that missed it, I'll read it again. I'll read the answer again. What was the question we asked? I have to try and find it now because it's deep in my text.
Like, how many, like, can you trade?
Yeah, future draft picks.
Like, is there a limit on my Ponzi
scheme?
Yeah.
I thought more about this, guys. Like, I was thinking more about this in the shower. And what I thought about was just that you've got all your picks for 2026 or no, 2027. You've got all those picks. Then next year, you're going to have all your 2020. Like, you've got all these picks. Just start moving them out. The picks never end. You're always going to keep getting them. So just keep moving out the futures for all the immediate help you need. It's down the line. It's someone else's problem.
I used to do that in franchise mode in EA, NHL.
That's right. It's so easy.
You get
fired
anyways. Exactly.
Exactly. I don't know why.
School of Management.
need to hire Harmon as for your analytics staff. And that one.
Yeah. So this was the answer that I read yesterday. There's no limit, but no other GM is going to listen to you if you're like, all right, I want to trade you a 2040 pick. Like 3 to 4 years is the maximum that GMs will really discuss. Nobody's going to talk about anything beyond that. But he did say sometimes future considerations could mean like a 2040 seventh round pick.
But here's the thing, for jokes, if I've got like an AHL guy that is like has no value, instead of future considerations, I'd be like, you know what? Give me a 2030 sixth round pick. And I'd be like, I know you don't care. I'm probably not going to be here anyway, but just for the memes, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Just for the memes. And I think that's like a great place to close
it's like
out.
An 8-year-old kid right now.
Oh geez. All right, we'll close it out there. A Syndicat saying that's the Golden Knights model, what I just described. Yeah, it is, absolutely.
Kick the can down the road, worry about that
someone
else later.
And that's the thing, like, that's with Vegas, they do kick the can down the road and everybody's like, oh, they're gonna have issues this year, they're gonna have issues this year, and then they navigate those problems really well. I trust Jim Rutherford to navigate those problems. So Jim, if you're listening, keep trading those picks.
That's actually what Rutherford did in Pittsburgh, and it's all catching up to them now, kind of.
Yeah.
Ron Hextall, in all fairness, made it worse.
Yeah,
he was terrible.
Exactly. Exactly. So Jim Rutherford knows when to get out, man. And I know Canucks fans don't want to hear it, but he knows when it's time. He knows when it's
and
time.
And Kyle Dubas hasn't done much better. He's kind of picked up where they left off. So you wonder, is that an ownership mandate? And if you think about it, like, they want to go for it because of Crosby, Malkin, Letang. So yeah, a bit of a different, wild, unique circumstance there.
Get Crosby to Vancouver with some proper management.
We see that in the comments on both shows that I work on. Crosby to Canucks. Trade Petey for Crosby. It's still going.
I do have
it's
a lot
today.
Of accounts. I do have a lot of accounts to comment on. All right, we'll close it out there. For my co-host Harmon Dial and our technical producer Grady Sass, my name is David Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Canucks Conversation.
Canucks Conversation with Harmon and Quads, brought to you by the Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X's fresh look is just an added bonus to its range, since you can drive up to 406 kilometers on a single charge. That's enough to get you from Kitsilano to Whistler or Kamloops to Kelowna and back, and still be home in time for the game. Now that's what we'd call electric. The best part, by choosing electric, you can get up to $11,000 in rebates and incentives. The BZ4X are in stock and selling quickly, so make sure to visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer to get your hands on one. Canucks Conversation is live Monday through Friday, every weekday at 2 p.m. over on the Canucks Army YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, and interact in the YouTube live chat every day with us, folks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.